Tommy. Tommy, a huge day for us. Again, our second guest.
And I cannot wait.
Extra special for us. Two Jersey boys, and we got a thoroughbred Jersey girl with us, Damaris Rodriguez. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And just tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how would you describe yourself to, like, someone on, like, a speed date?
I'm resilient. I'm competitive. I'm funny. I'm caring. And I have a big heart.
Big heart.
And she's a Hudson County legend.
No.
I will tell you what. She put Sea Caucus basketball, I believe, on the map. She put NJCU, if I'm not mistaken, on the map. And then she finished out her collegiate career, Division I at Monmouth. 4,000 points combined between high school and college, I think, in about 8 years is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
Now, what age did you start playing basketball?
I started playing basketball since I was 4 years old.
Yeah. Your first, like, basketball memory, what is that?
I would say playing on my dead-end block, literally at, like, about 6 years old. There's always, like, these two high school kids that lived across the street, and they would play outside, and I would always ask to play, and they would be like, no, you can't play. And then one day they finally let me play, and they're like, oh, shoot, like, this girl can hoop. And yeah, the one time they let me play, they would always swat the ball, and it would go all the way down the block.
as they should, you know?
I have a hot take with these two cul-de-sac players that I'm saying they may have helped build the resilience from an early age, possibly.
Absolutely. I tell them all the time. I message them on Instagram, like, you guys are the ones who got me to play like this and play better.
Now, when did you realize you were, like, better than the average player?
When I would get on the court as a young kid and parents would be mad that I'm in the game and they would say, take her out, it's unfair. And do you remember my father would be like, it's not my fault that your kid's not good.
I love that.
What's your ethnicity, Damaris?
I'm Dominican and Cuban. My father's Dominican and Cuban. And my mother's Cuban.
Tommy, I'll tell you this. Latin women basketball players are rare. In the W, there's only, like, one real significant player, and it's Rebecca Lobo, I think. Yeah. There's really not, like, there's no marquee names.
Yeah.
What do you think the reason is for that?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Because there's some legitimate hoopers out in Hudson County with Latin background.
Absolutely. There's a lot of good hoopers with Latin background, but I feel like they just go overseas.
Okay. Do you follow the W by any chance?
I do. I'm not big on it, but I do follow it.
Okay.
Do you have a player in college that you, like, looked up to, or maybe even in the W that you were, you know, that's my girl.
My favorite player is Maya Moore. I loved her game. I would go to all her games, watch her film, even when she was at UConn. And then when she went to the W, I would watch the games too. I just loved her game.
She's a bucket getter.
And the fact that she was 23, which I wore 23 as well, so I liked her.
I have a coworker that's in his late 20s, and I told him I was interviewing you today, and he said, yeah, I went to Hudson Catholic, and I said, I'm interviewing you, and he goes, she's a bucket getter. I'm like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, from three? He's like, yes. I'm like, is she shifty? Yes. Does she have, like, handle and finish crafty? Yes. So, like, all of the above.
All of the above.
But I got to be honest, from what I saw, you know, where I've watched you play a little bit, it seems like changing speeds and stopping on a dime and pulling up for that jump shot seems like that is a very tough move to defend.
That's my bread and butter.
It seemed that way to me. Yeah, like, that seems like an unguardable shot that you have, stopping on a dime. And just pulling up, quick release.
That's my favorite move, yep.
Now, when did you get that in your bag? You know, as the kids say, we're boomers over here, and you're just like a young blood, really, in the game. But when did you start developing that, you know?
Eighth grade, middle school, like going right before high school.
Okay.
And I would just watch. First, I loved James Harden's step back, so I would always try and mimic that.
But you don't travel when you do it.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say in middle school, my father passed away when I was 10, and he was the one who would, like, train with me. Mm-hmm. So then ever since then, I would literally just train myself and play on AAU teams and just practice with them. But literally, like, a lot that I know, I've just watched drills on YouTube and actually literally trained myself to do things.
Okay. Could I ask, what would you say was the biggest jump from when you went from Sea Caucus to the NJAC and the NJCU? Like, just in terms of, like, the style of play and, like, how the game's different?
Yeah, the game, obviously, the college level is faster than high school. But it wasn't anything, like, too major because my high school team was pretty good, especially my freshman and sophomore year.
That's like an utter understatement. Like, Sea Caucus high school women, girls basketball was like the staple of dominancy during that time. I coached Richfield during that time, and like all I heard was like, yeah, Sea Caucus girls, you can't win that league because Sea Caucus is in it.
We would win the league almost every year. I think we did win the league every year I was there. But yeah, I would say like the pace was a little faster. But then when I left the NJAC and went to the CAA, that was an even bigger change. The pace was way, way, way faster. So that was an adjustment I had to get used to as well.
I looked at your minutes per game, you know, during your career. I got to be honest, I was so impressed. It looked like, you know, in a 40-minute game, you look like you averaged like 38 and a half minutes. Yeah. And like, I kind of assumed that those games that you didn't play 40 minutes, it was either you fouled out or you like, maybe you had like a cut and you needed to like clean up some blood or something. Like,
fun fact, I've never fouled out of a game.
Really?
Never fouled out of a game.
That's unheard of.
That's high. I'm going to say that's high basketball IQ then.
Yeah.
I would say I actually love defense. So I take,
do you take charges?
I do.
Wow. I like
and
that.
Still so, not fouling out of the game, taking charges. You know what?
I've only taken one charge at the D1 level, though, and then I've taken a couple at NJCU, and then in high school, I took a lot.
So let me ask: do you think being able to play that many minutes for, you know, for all those seasons, are you just born with that type of motor, or do you think it's work ethic, or both?
I think it's definitely both. I think I was born gifted, for sure. I definitely believe that. But I do, my work ethic is, like, I literally eat, sleep, and breathe basketball. I work out every day. If not, I'm working out twice a day. Or I have a key to literally around the corner of my house is a gym that I have the key to. And I'll be there till 3 a.m, just getting shots up or conditioning, running up and down the court. I love working out.
Can you take us through, like, Sea Caucus senior year? You know, I'm sure you have a lot of offers. And I'm pretty sure you were probably one of the biggest commits NJCU ever got, if not the biggest. And, you know, they hadn't had a lot of success before you. Can you take us through the decision, you know, choosing, going there and choosing NJCU?
Yeah, of course. So when I was in Sea Caucus High School, I honestly didn't get much offers from Division I. I had one, which was St. Peter's. And then the coach that was recruiting me ended up leaving. So I didn't have that. I had Division II schools. But I had, like, almost every team in the NJAC recruiting me. And my final decision why I chose NJCU was I wanted to choose the worst program and change it so that it could be the best. So it happened to be NJCU. They hadn't won anything in 50 years. So I was like, I want to be able to, like, make a name for myself and change the program. If I can't play Division I, all these teams are looking over me because of my size, my height. I wanted to do something legendary.
Well, mission accomplished on that front.
Tom, yeah. When you're, I'll give you a little boomer perspective that just reminded me. When you're like me, a girl dad, and you're in the suburbs, that's what you want to look for when you're buying a house. The worst house on the best block. And that's kind of what it reminded me of. Like, all right, we're going to fix this up here. And we're going to, like, you know, we're going to belong in this division or on this block, if you will.
Honestly, Damaris, kudos to you because, you know, I'm sure you watched the NBA a little bit, and it almost seems like superstars sometimes pick the easier road where they're like, we're going to team up with, you know, we're going to make the super teams. And
that's why I hated Kevin Durant for a little while, even though he's amazing, but I hated when he went to the Warriors.
I get it. I get it. Frank, during her time playing, I couldn't keep up.
That's why I hate LeBron. All right.
You hate LeBron?
Yeah, I'm a hater. I'm a LeBron hater.
I love LeBron. But
I'm a Wade guy. I, you know, when they teamed up, I was a LeBron.
D-Wade is my favorite player of all time.
Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah. The way he plays is sort of like you, like shifty and like that Euro step a little bit too. The way you could throw it off the glass is like.
And he plays defense.
Exactly, yeah.
Flash, early on his career, I think he may have the most or top five most blocks ever from a guard.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
So then you got to have a tough decision then, because you're so beloved at NJCU. I hope you don't mind me talking about this. No. And now, you know, you have to make a decision for your, I believe it was your fifth and final year.
Fifth and final year, yes.
So you could have stayed at NJCU one more year, or you could not have?
I could have stayed.
So I will be honest, being in your shoes, that would have been a very tough decision, a difficult conversation for me to talk to the coach and say, like, I'm taking my talents to South Beach or Monmouth University in your case.
It was honestly difficult. I'm not going to lie. I did stay. That's exactly why I stayed for 4 years, because I did love my team. I had a great experience at NJCU, but I just wanted to challenge myself and see what I could do with my last final year. And I entered the transfer portal, and I actually got a couple of Division I offers, and it was between either UMass or Monmouth. And I ended up picking Monmouth because they had a new coaching staff coming in, so I thought that was going to be a better chance for me to. Sure. Yeah, and I just thought, like, why don't we just go through this experience together? And yeah.
So then I asked you the difference between high school and D3. What would you say the big jump was from, like, D3 to D1?
Again, definitely the pace. There's a lot more plays. At Division III, sometimes if a play broke down, it could just
get the ball to Damaris.
Give me the ball, go to the side. But at Division I, it's not like that. It was challenging. It was definitely hard. Practices are longer. You have lifts. You have longer days. You just have to put it. It's just putting in more work. And being getting used to being comfortable, being uncomfortable. And yeah, I think that was the biggest challenge for me. But as soon as I started to pick it up, it was good from there.
Well, it seemed like the Frank, every week there was a different accolade. Player of the week, and like she transfers to Monmouth. And, you know, I'm on the women's basketball circuit. Mm. It's like, most outstanding athlete, most outstanding. Like it like never stopped. You need a long book to keep track of all of these accolades that she's gotten over the years. I bet she couldn't even name them off the top of her head.
Honestly, when people tell me like all this stuff, I'm like, I honestly can't even tell you. Just MVP like 4 times, so maybe a little more than that.
Can I ask who's been your biggest fan throughout, you know, college basketball?
Definitely my mom. Definitely my mom. She's always posting about me, always talking about me. She doesn't miss a game. Even if she can't be there, she's watching online. She's texting me before and after the game. And she's like the loudest one in the stands. Her, or I'd say my younger brother as well. He's like my biggest fan.
Now that takes a lot. You know, like family and resiliency, as you mentioned, has to play a key role into developing a player like yourself to, you know, keep excelling at the sports. And as a parent, I'm just starting to begin the sports very beginning, and it is already a lot of work. So I can't imagine, you know, a single mom at a point going through all that, right?
That's also why in the beginning I chose NJCU, because it was right there next to home. And then when I had to choose between mom and then UMass, just the fact that if I went to UMass, my mom wouldn't be able to go to as many games. I was like, I'd rather have my family come and watch me. So that was another reason why I chose Monmouth as well.
That's a mature decision. I love that. I love that family first. Yes. You know, I kind of have a funny story. I got a chance to know your mom a couple years ago, and she, you know, I'm an athletic director, so I'm around basketball, and, you know, she's like, yeah, I have a daughter that plays basketball. I'm like, oh, you know, awesome. That's great. Like, you know, months go by and she's like, yeah, she, you know, she's playing in a playoff game tonight. I'm like, oh, you know, what school? Damaris. I'm like, your daughter's Damaris Rodriguez? Like, yeah, she made it like super humble at that point. She's like, yeah, she plays basketball. And I'm like, yeah, she's been dominating Hudson County for like 8 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, let me ask. I know, like, from seeing some highlights and, you know, getting to know mom a little bit, it seems like ink and tattoos are kind of a thing.
Yeah, she's actually the one who got me hooked onto tattoos. So she loves art.
Mom's tatted up too?
She's tatted up, yep.
Do you have any that you share together, or ones that's like really special for the family?
I have on my ankle, it's a sea in the sun because Marisol in Spanish is Marisol and Mar is the sea, Sol is the sun. So I have that on my ankle for her. And then she has one on her back of us, of her kids. It says Andamos. So the A-N is for Andres. D-A-M is for Damaris. And then the O-S at the end is for Oscar, who's my younger brother.
I love that.
Yeah.
Are there more to come? More tattoos to
come? Oh, absolutely. I want to finish. I need to finish my sleeve.
Now, she said she's Cuban Dominican from Hudson County. There's some like Cuban spots like Altasano, you know, you ever been there?
I've never been there. Honestly, I'm just a big back. I love all kind of food.
Yeah. I'm a
big. But I've honestly never, actually, maybe I have been to that restaurant. I have no idea. But I love to eat. So two things, I'll eat and then work out right after and burn it off. But yeah.
Now, being Latin, unfortunately, and this might be the reason why there isn't as many women's basketball players, is we tend to be on the shorter side of the scale, men and women. And I don't know. I'm looking at your height here, 5'3". Is that correct?
5'3".
Now that is to be at your skill level and be 5'3". Like, what obstacles? I feel like coaches see that and kind of like might even dismiss you, even after all the accolades.
I think that's part of the reason why I did get dismissed coming out of high school. Because I feel like if I was taller, I would definitely have gotten more offers and stuff. But to me, size doesn't matter. Like I said in the beginning of the interview, I have a big heart. And I feel like that's what matters most. And yeah, I'll fight till the end. No matter how big, how small, I'm going to give everybody the best I got every single night. So.
I love that. You know, Frank and I were at we covered the WNBA draft two weeks ago, and the sixth pick of the draft, Georgia Amor, she's the same size as you. I believe she's 5'3".
Yeah.
So, you know, there are some great ballers that stand at your stature.
Absolutely.
Hard over height.
Hard over height.
Even in the NBA, there has been, like, players your size, I think, are around 5'4".
Yeah, Muggsy Bogues is literally 5'3".
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So I'm sure that you're very good at getting your shoulder into bigger defenders to create you create the contact, you create the separation. I'm sure you've mastered that over the years. You know, it would be impossible to score as many points as you have without being able to do that.
Exactly. You can't be scared of someone blocking your shot. I always say that, like, if I get blocked, I'm 5'3", you're 6'2". But at the end of the day, I'm still going to work through it. And like you said, getting my body into their chest to create contact and maybe get an N1 or just knowing how to maneuver around it. And yeah, and also being able to, the shooting gun has also been a huge help because that, you know, how it's like a higher net. So you get to shoot above the net, which is like shooting above a hand. So it's like, just like practice, honestly, when I'm in a game.
I got a in-game personality question for you, two-part question. A, are you a smack talker in-game? And B, how do you deal with it when someone that's guarding you is talking smack?
So I will never talk smack to somebody first, but if you're talking smack to me, I'm going to have to talk smack. But I will never start it. And sometimes I even let it go for a little bit, but then if you're talking smack and I'm cooking you and I'm crossing you, I honestly, there's so many pictures of me you'll see of me just laughing.
Oh, that's the best. That's the best smack talk right there.
So funny. Like, I believe this past season, I was so shocked. I'm still so shocked that I did this. I did like a step back and two people fell. And I was so happy.
I hope your bench went nuts during it. It was like,
oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. Everyone was going nuts.
And Tommy, we got to find that footage.
Yelling at me to press. But I was so hyped and happy that I'm over here just laughing, like pointing, and I'm running back, and my coach is screaming at me to get up and press.
You gotta send that clip to us so we can see this.
I will.
What move did you? What did you pull? That? What do you think caused two defenders to?
So here's what actually happened. I did it in and out with my left, and then I stepped back. And when I stepped back, I landed on her foot.
Okay.
So she kind of like slipped, and then she tripped her other teammate. Nobody knows that.
And you made the shot?
And I made the shot.
Where would you look at right afterwards after you made the shot?
Right at them on the floor, and I was standing at them like this. I was in shock.
I love that.
Yeah, you have to. I'll send you guys the clip.
So now you finish your college career. You know, this is kind of like decision Wait, time.
Before we finished college career.
Yeah.
When you moved to Monmouth, were there, like, was coach mad at you? Or are there people, like, upset that you're, you know, Damaris is leaving?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew that my old coach was going to feel some type of way, which was so, that's why it was so hard for me to just tell him that I was going to even enter the transfer portal. Because I knew that, we've been together for 4 years, so I knew that it was going to be hard. Like, he was going to obviously try and convince me to stay and do everything in his power for me not to leave. But there were my teammates, for the most part, they were all happy for me. You know, they said, like, you should have been going Division I a long time ago. But, of course, there's always some haters who thought I wasn't going to be able to play at that level against bigger and good, better guards. But I think I was able to prove those people wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go post-college now.
Wait, I got one more college.
Post-college. It's like,
we're in the college question, right? If you don't mind. Yeah. Sorry. So, you know, you're playing your fifth year, and, you know, in the latter part of your college career, the NIL starts, you know, you're able to make a little bit of money. Do you feel salty a little bit that, like, that didn't happen in the beginning of your college career?
Honestly, no. I'm not salty at all. Do I wish that I could have got paid in the beginning of my career? Of course. Who doesn't like money? But I'm not in it for the money. Even, like, when I'm looking to go overseas and stuff like that, I literally love basketball. Like, it's just my passion. It's, I'm just really good at it, and I just love playing it. It's literally my therapy. If I'm happy, mad, sad, whatever it is, just basketball makes me happy. So I really, even like now I'm starting training and I'm not worried about the money. I just want to help people and be able to, because again, when I was younger, I didn't have a trainer. My mom was a single mother who couldn't afford for me to have a trainer. So I just want to help. And again, I love basketball. So I love just doing what I do.
I love that. Get a degree from one of the schools?
I at NGCU, I never graduated. So I knew I was going to get a fifth year from COVID. So okay. What I did, I don't really like school. So I purposely took less classes so it would be less stress on me.
Good for you.
And I knew I was going to have the fifth year. So then, yep. And now I'm graduating from Monmouth on the 15th.
All right. Congratulations. What is the degree in?
Criminal justice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any future in that, like down to like 2 decades from now, or yeah?
Yeah, I want to become a police officer after I'm done with my basketball career. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that will be, but
I hope that's at least 15 years from now.
Right. Yes, me too. but yeah, I did an internship at Monmouth. I was doing it with the MUPD, so Monmouth University Police Department, and I loved my experience. I thought it was super cool. So hopefully.
15 years from now, I would really love if, you know, you get to become a cop when basketball is over for you and, like, you go to the courts in police uniform and, and, like, you get some, like, cocky teenagers that are like, hey, you know, talking something and you're like, check ball. And, like, you just start crying. That will be a viral video. If you
I
just
know. I've seen videos like that, too.
I'm taking like, ankles like that.
That's awesome, yeah.
So, Frank, are you all right if we go post-college?
Yeah, let's go post-college. Or, like, you know, we're looking into the future now, right? A little bit.
So this is this is changing of the guard. You just moved out of college today, yeah?
Yes, I did.
You know, so a new chapter ends, a new chapter begins. Don't cry that it's over. Smile that it happened.
Smile that it happened, yeah.
So do you have, like, immediate plans of, like, a place or a destination that you want to play yet?
I would love to play somewhere in Europe, Spain preferably, because again, I'm Cuban. But honestly, wherever I got, I just want to, like, I'm right now I'm in the process of finding an agent and doing all like my highlight tapes and all that. But again, I'm happy to just be playing basketball. But obviously, Europe does pay the most money, so I would love to go there if I had the opportunity to.
Hey, to do what you want to do every day and play hoops and live in Europe and, you know,
and have us watch you go fly over to Spain and watch one of your games. Come on.
Damaris, I don't know if you know this. Frank has 3 kids.
Yeah.
And any of the people that we've interviewed overseas that play overseas, his wife allows him to go on a vacation to go cover a game. So
yeah.
If you play.
Oh, wow.
Please go to Spain. I need it, Damaris. I'm drowning.
Yeah,
the kids
are
driving me nuts.
Let's cross our fingers.
Let's manifest it.
Yes.
I'll bring the kids. I'll bring the, I won't be, I'll bring the kids.
That's awesome though.
Yeah. I have a 6-year-old. She just started playing basketball now. And she is a P. We call her P as a nickname, but she's the size of a P. She's not shortest one on the court, but like really like loves the competition and being with her friends. So it's like amazing to see. I love basketball and women's ball. So, so
do all your kids play basketball?
Well, they're all younger. There's four and then one's a baby. But she's the oldest, so I'm getting the introduction to the sports world. Finally, you know, when you have your kid, you're like giving them the ball when they're little, but they don't really start playing until around like 6.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of that age, what's something that you'd like to see change in like youth girls basketball? That's something that maybe irks you in like girls basketball between ages like 8 and 13. That or I either needs to like, be needs to be taught more, or is like it's not being taught more, or something within the game.
I think like it needs to be taught more. I don't think a lot of people are like into women's basketball. Now finally just women's basketball in general is growing, but I don't see people like putting in as much effort to as boys than girls. And I would say just like more like focus on the girls. Because honestly, I feel like I have more joy watching women's basketball than men's basketball.
We can't stop watching it. It's great.
Stop watching women's basketball. The NBA isn't for, we're going to sound like old timers, but we're like, back in my day, the NBA was real basketball. You know, it was physical.
Women just, and girls just have to work a lot harder than men do, to be good. So
we're really happy that the W is starting to get some traction the last couple of years. And, you know, I feel like the game is slowly but surely starting to grow a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Now you're working out a ton. And something, I don't know if you pay attention to it in the college game and even in the W, these young women are having catastrophic injuries. Is that something that crosses your mind or you just don't even think about it? And you play a ton of minutes.
Yeah, I do. I don't think about that stuff. Like, I feel like everything happens for a reason. So if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I'm not trying to have that in my head. I just play freely. And yeah, I'm not worried about getting injured.
You're not counting your minutes. Like, a ton, you know.
Absolutely not. Again, I love basketball. So if I'm playing 40 minutes, I don't care if I don't get one break. Unless I really, really need it, which this season, there was a couple games where I was exhausted. I thought I was going to pass out. That I would ask for a quick sub, and then I would take one sip of water and I would have to be right back to get subbed back in.
I love that. Let me ask, because I think to piggyback on what Frank's talking about, like the ACL rise in women's basketball, it's really been terrible to see. Is there specific things in your training when like you're doing a basketball workout that they build that area of the quad or something that to prevent an injury like that?
So with our strength and conditioning coach, there's like a lot of exercises to strengthen around the knee or like especially, and we do a lot of ankle stuff too because a lot of people roll their ankles and stuff just to make it like around the area stronger to prevent injury. And even in like the training room for recovery and stuff like that, the same thing, like just a bunch of stretching or just little simple exercises that you might not think it's doing a lot, but honestly, it does do a lot.
All right. Can we put you on the hot seat and ask you some quick firing questions and one word answers?
Okay.
All right. Best shooter you've ever played with?
Rachel Cool.
Best shooter you've ever played against?
What's her name? She played on Hofstra. I can't think of her name right now.
Okay.
She's the best, definitely the best shooter I've ever
stuck out to you.
Yeah,
this is gonna be a tough question. Favorite coach of all time, and you can only name one.
Favorite coach of all time?
That has coached you.
Mike Piero.
Okay.
Tell us about Mike Piero. Why was he the greatest coach for like that sticks out?
You know? Well, one, when I was playing for him, I was with a bunch of my best friends, my elementary school best friends. So the team was just, I just had so much fun. I was young, so I wasn't like stressed about anything. I was just playing freely. And he just literally instilled all like the little things for me, like playing defense and winning championships. I won a couple of championships on his team. And he just literally, ever since he coached me, he's been in my life ever since. He followed me all the way still till now. He's the one who gives me the key to the gym when I want to go play at like 3 in the morning. So Yeah, he just and he made me like just love the sport even more because I loved being coached by him.
I love that. Favorite rivalry game that you've looked forward to of like a school that you're like, this is our enemy. We can't wait to play this team at any level.
Definitely Drexel. We played them. We split. We won once. They won once. And then we played them in the playoffs and they beat us in overtime by 3 points. And I wish I could go back.
All right, you scored 4,000 points. What was the biggest shot of your career?
I'd say either NJCU when I hit the buzzer beater to go into the semifinals, or I'd say this season against Hampton, there was like 30 seconds left and I got an and-one to put us up one. And the crowd, it was just immaculate. There's so many people and it was just, they have like a really cool picture of me like flexing to the fans. And
I love that. Favorite sneakers to ball in?
Favorite sneakers to ball in?
Yep.
Kyrie's.
Okay. Favorite basketball sneakers to wear when you're not balling?
LeBron's. Only a specific kind, though. It's the Hornet 9s. I've literally had them for so long, and I can't even, like, I will not get rid of them.
Okay.
Favorite the basketball? The whole life is basketball.
I know. That's why I'm going to go deep with these questions.
If favorite... you see my room, like, my trash can is a basketball. I have, like, my light switch has like a basketball on it. There's a bunch of pictures of just basketballs everywhere.
Favorite
workout.
Favorite workout? I like doing shooting drills or ball handling drills.
And how long are you doing those for?
An hour.
Each?
An hour each. Well, ball handling, I'll probably do like 30 minutes of ball handling. Honestly, just doing a bunch of like drills with two balls. And then shooting an hour or longer, 2 hours max though.
Do you have a good story of when you maybe a guy has said like, oh, I can beat you in one-on-one and you humbled them and it's really good?
Oh yeah, I have a couple of those stories.
I love that because people don't realize how legit college basketball players are for women.
There was this one time I went to a park and I asked to play and they were like, it was just a bunch of, there was only guys there and they kept telling me no. They're like, nah, like, you can't play, like, you're a girl, blah, blah. And then my friend was like, just give her, like, just let her play one game. And they're like, no. So then he was like, okay, then, and it was his ball. He was like, all right, then none of us are playing, like, we're not playing, then give him my ball. And they were like, fine, like, she could play one game. And then when they realized that I could actually play, they were like, all right, she could play, like, she could play more games with us. And I literally went to the park, and I did my famous move, my step back. And he kind of went flying a little bit in the entire park.
Oh, yes.
Nothing like being in the park. The park was going crazy. And then there was just a bunch of people like all by the gates watching the game go on. And it was really
cool. That must have been such a good moment.
Yeah, it was awesome. But when I go and play and I'm playing and they don't pass me the ball.
Say that again.
I said, or sometimes I'll go to like to play in runs and it's all men and they won't pass me the ball. And then finally, when I like, I'll get my own rebound and I'll bring it down the court and like I throw a dime or something. And they're like, oh, and now I'm getting the ball like every possession.
Let me ask, when you played in high school, did you guys play primarily man or zone?
We played man. My high school coach did not believe in zone.
I'm with that 100%. That's my biggest gripe with youth basketball right now is too many coaches have their teams playing fifth and sixth grade basketball zone. I'm like, you need to learn man. You need to learn actual defense.
I honestly hate zone defense. I hate it with a burning passion. I wish I could just always play man. And I guess that's just because growing up, I've only ever really played man. And then again, my high school coach Sterling only believed in man. And I would say at NJCU, we didn't really play much zone either. Like it was just man to man. So then when I came to Monmouth and we were playing man, I was getting so lost at times. I'm like, oh my God, I hate this. I just want to get one man and lock them up. Like,
so the fact that you've never fouled out and that's the primary defense you've played is definitely a testament to your discipline and your basketball IQ.
Wait, why 23? Were you always, was that always your number?
So I love Michael Jordan. So that's why I when I was younger, I picked 23. And then this season I wore 33 because that was my dad's number.
Awesome.
So it was my final year, so I was like, I'm going to wear 33.
That's beautiful.
Still a big part of your life, dad.
Yes.
Yeah, always right?
I was my best friend, yeah.
That's amazing. Yep. Man, this girl deserves it all, Tommy. Come on. What? I'm trying to think. You can't not like you. If you're a basketball fan and you're hearing this, like as an interview, let's say we were agents or coaches or whatever, you know, you really just wear it on your sleeve. That's like the type of player you want, you know? You go 5'3", you bring her in, and then you just hearing you talk just right now is, you know, it just, the proof is in the pudding type of deal.
Thank you.
Mature beyond your years, and you know, we wish you the best of luck when you go over in Europe. We will be buying plane tickets to go see you play, hopefully. And yes,
absolutely.
You know, hopefully mom is over there watching the game as well.
I'm sure she will be. Yes.
Yeah, so we'll manifest that. That's where we'll finish this off. Damaris, thanks so much for joining us, man. Thank you for having me.
It was so much fun.
It was great talking to you. Best of luck in your basketball and your criminal justice career.
Thank you both. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Bye.